I fall on my knees. Will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks and praise for this day, for this church, for the pioneers that believed in the impossible, and for our charge to carry what we know is possible to the world beyond these walls. Meet us, O God, in this place, in the places of our hearts, longings. Illuminate our path, if it but just be for the next step. And remind us, O God, of our own transformation. And may we speak words from that place as we offer all that we have to your work. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Stephen Covey, who passed in 2012, is a person that was, he doesn't know this, but he was my personal mentor. Do you know who he is? Brilliant, brilliant author, speaker, I think a prophet of our day, a Mormon, wrote a number of books that really helped me along my journey. And he said this that continues to stay with me today. He said that the essentials of life that we are called to, that we yearn for, that we have the opportunity to live into, is to live, to love, to learn, and to leave a legacy. Now, I take those things very, very seriously. And because of that, I came upon this book I thought I would share a few reflections with you on, called The Complete Live and Learn and Pass It On Book. And I want to share with you a couple of pass it on reflections that are in this book. Age 59. I've learned you'll never see a U-Haul trailer behind a hearse. Age 21. I've learned you should know what the red button is connected to before you push it. Age 7. I've learned that you have to listen to your brain because it has a lot of information. Age 10. I've learned that if either of your parents or those caring for you is angry, don't, and I repeat, don't ask for money. Age 48. I've learned when your children complain about doing household chores, you simply tell them that they are either tenants or family members. If they are tenants, they pay rent. If they are family members, they assume responsibility. The last one I will share with you is age 25. I've learned that our background and circumstances may have influenced who we are, but we are responsible for who we become. The disciples were on a journey with Jesus. Now, God bless them. Don't you love the disciples? I mean, they really show us how it's just okay to be clumsy and mess up and not get it and still be a disciple. So here they are going into this town and they figure out right away they're not going to be well received. And what do they do? as young disciples might do. Well, let's just burn them all. Now, there was wisdom in their reflection because they would not be well received. So it was probably in their best interest to move on. But Jesus rebuked them before they moved on because that's just not what we do. Have you ever asked God anything? And then want it right then. And then miss it when it's right in front of you. Wouldn't it just be easier if God, like, called you? Or text? Wouldn't it just be easier if your phone rang and it was God on the other end? The question is, would we answer it? Would we know it was even God? Would we be ready to pick up the phone when the phone rings and say, "Hello, God?" Or would we say, "I don't recognize that number," and not answer the phone? What would we do? What have we done when God calls? The disciples thought it would just be a simple journey to follow Jesus. Their response was, "I will follow you wherever you go." Now, be Jesus for a minute. Can you step into that place? Your response is, "Yeah, right. You have no idea where I'm going. You have no idea how hard this work will be. You have no idea what you've said." And his response in the vernacular of his language was, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Humanity has nowhere to lay his head." That means neither will you. To another he says, "Follow me." And the response is, "But Rabbi, first I gotta go bury my dad." Jesus responds in a peculiar reflection that I'm sure leaves this man pondering. "Let the dead bury their own. But as for you, go and proclaim the gospel." Parker Palmer, in his book, Let Your Life Speak, says this: "Most of us arrive at a sense of self, call, and vocation only after a long journey through an alien land. But this journey bears no resemblance to the trouble-free travel packages sold by the tourism industry. It's more akin to the ancient traditions of pilgrimage, a transformative journey to a sacred center, full of hardship, darkness, and peril. It is difficult to see the connection between finding a sacred center and the reality that that includes hardship and peril. In the tradition of pilgrimage, those hardships are not seen as accidental, but as integral to the journey itself. Treacherous terrain, bad weather, taking a fall, getting lost, challenges of that sort, largely beyond our control." Has that ever happened to you? Who said yes, ma'am? So circumstances largely beyond our control, can strip the ego of our illusion that it is in charge and make space for true self to emerge. If that happens, the pilgrim has a better chance to find the sacred center he or she seeks. Disabused of our illusions by much travel and travail, we awaken one day to find that that sacred center is here and now in every moment of the journey, everywhere in the world around us and deep in our own hearts. Teacher, I will follow you anywhere. But first, let me go say bye to my friend. How many times do we feel a tug on our heartstrings that God is calling us to do something, maybe scary, maybe it seems like it's the perfect fit for us, but there are the, but first I have to go and. First I have to go and. You see it all the time with seminarians. Seminarians say, well, when I graduate from seminary and I'm ordained, then I will step into ministry. No, my friends, ministry happens every day of our lives, whether you recognize it or not. It happens in the grocery store. It happens, well, I was going to say at the post office, but most of us probably don't use that much anymore. It happens in the stadiums. It happens in traffic. It happens in the bar. Hello. Yes. It happens in those sultry moments on the dance floor. Ministry happens everywhere. We just have boxes for it. We think that there's only certain places it exists. In certain places we can be authentic in our spiritual practice, and then places where we'll just keep that in the closet. Come on. What does it mean for us to say, I will follow you anywhere, but first, there is this sense that ministry has to happen in certain contexts, in certain environments. And I don't want to dismiss that that is true. It does happen in temples and mosques and churches. Ministry happens in those places. But I believe those are the places where we are prepared to go out into the world and do this great work. Not just in our city. I was struck by how many countries were represented at General Conference. People who were fired up to go out and spread the good news that God loves everybody at the risk of torture and death. We had a young man in his early 20s studying for the ministry who's doing his field education in Uganda. Uganda. The probably most hostile place on the planet right now for gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, queer, questioning, and even those who would support those folks. This young man has piercings everywhere. His ink art, I would venture to say, probably covers most of his body, although I didn't see all the parts. His work in Uganda is to the transgender community. That, my friends, is really stepping out into the terrain Not all of us are called to do that. Some of us are just called to let somebody in front of our car when it's really bad traffic and we're in a hurry. Some of us are called to just open the door for somebody who maybe needs it or maybe doesn't. I went back there and I looked on the board from our service a couple of weeks ago to see what is happening with the $20 that you have given, been given to go and multiply. I was really touched that one of the cards back there says, we took our 20 and multiplied it, and then we bought 12 chickens and a goat for a village in Africa. MCC Tampa has the potential to touch the world if we're willing to spread wide open our vision. The last preacher of General Conference invited us as a church, both globally and locally, to think about what it might mean to step out into the unchartered territory of doing church in a new way. What does it mean for us to think about reorganizing our worship experience and our mission and what we do to the world beyond these walls so that it's so different it doesn't look or feel like church, and yet that is the place where God dwells? Who would stay? Who would join us? Because that's what we did. How is MCC Tampa called to follow Jesus wherever? Wherever. What is our charge? During General Conference, one of the things that I built was a similar wall. It had bricks on it that we called our prayer wall. And we took this very concept and we invited the church, the global church, to write prayers on these prayer cards. And at the end of conference, there was about 300 or 400 cards that filled that wall. And Ross said to me, At the end of the last worship service, I'm going to go get whatever cards are left and bring them home for our church to pray for. The conference at the beginning of the last worship service was invited to go to the wall and take a prayer card home with them and sit with that prayer and pray for the person who wrote it. And at the end of worship, Ross said he went to the prayer wall and there was one card left. And it said, God, I love you. God is continuing, always, and in all ways to call us. A couple of weeks ago when I preached the sermon about the, if you weren't here, everybody got $20. That's a really good reason to come to church. You never know when you're going to get blessed. And you were charged with going out and making a difference with that and then coming back and writing it on the wall. And after church, a congregant came to me and said, who picks the scripture? I mean no disrespect, but you're always preaching about what we're called to do and what we're supposed to do. And I don't get why that's always the message. And I said, well, maybe it's only always the message when you come to church because that's only every few months. But the deeper message here is, are you doing what God is calling you to do, or does that message make you uncomfortable? Because very clearly in the scripture and in what Parker Palmer said is this is not ministry for the weak of heart. It's hard work and it's filled with disappointment and challenges and opportunities. And it, God, continues to knock on your door, tug on your heartstrings, and invite you to follow Jesus in this great work, sharing the good news of God's unconditional love. Will you pray with me? Holy Spirit, we give you thanks and praise for all of the ways in which you bless and fill and feed us. Meet us, O God, in this place. Continue to transform us, fill us, bless us, guide us, nourish and comfort us. Prepare us, empower us, and remind us that you never leave us or forsake us. In Christ's name, amen.
Let us take a moment and prepare our hearts for this meal.